Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to Harbor West. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. Really great to worship with you so far, and we're going to continue in worship as we open God's Word together. And so if you have a Bible, you can grab it now and open to the book of Joshua. As a church, we've been going through Joshua for a couple months now, and we are in Joshua 20. So if you need a Bible, there should be some Bibles under the chairs in front of you, and Joshua 20 is on page 200 in those Bibles in those chairs in front of you. When you came in this morning, you should have received one of these cards. It gives you some info about what's coming up this week, this weekend, in the life of our church. This is Easter week, coming up on Easter weekend, and so we have some things coming up that are really exciting and important, and the first of those is our Good Friday service. So we have one Good Friday service for our three worship services on Sunday morning. So if you are a person who cares deeply about where you sit, like if you ladies are like, I would love to sit in the back row, but it's not there, and now you're here on the front. Friday, come early. All right, Friday, come early, because we're doing one service. So it's going to be a little tight. It's going to be packed, but it's going to be great. All right, that one seat buffer that everybody wants between them to get some elbow room, not happening Friday, but we're going to be family. We're going to love it, and it's only an hour. All right, so come Friday. It's the best way to prepare for Sunday morning for Easter. We take communion together on Friday night in a really significant way to prepare for Easter Sunday. And so make sure you can make it this Friday if you're able. Then we have an Easter egg hunt. You see there, that is on Saturday. I know there's not a day mentioned there on that info card, but it is Saturday. Don't come any other day for an Easter egg hunt here. You'll be greatly disappointed. It'll be me sitting in my office alone. I'll maybe try to hide some stuff for you, but that's it. All right. So Saturday's the Easter egg hunt. And then Sunday, our Easter services are the same. If you are a person that likes a little bit more space and second service is your regular service, I would encourage you on Easter, maybe try to get up early and come to first. That's where the most space will be. Second and third will be probably a little packed. And so if you're like, man, I've got bringing my whole family, I'm going to bring everybody, the whole crew's coming out, first service might be the one for you, all right? So here we go. Joshua 20. If you've been with us through this whole series, what you've seen is that God is bringing his people from slavery in Egypt. He rescued them, parted the Red Sea, brought them into the wilderness, brought them across the Jordan River miraculously, and now he has brought them into this land that he promised to give them. Because God promised to make these people a nation, a people of his own, who are going to look different in this world and live differently to shine light on who he is. And so God is building this community. God is building Israel now that they have their land, now that they're established, to be the community that he wants them to be. And you know what's interesting is when we build stuff, it kind of sheds a little bit of light on who we are. All right, like I have three kids. And so if I put the same stack, the same pile of Magna tiles in front of all three of my kids and just said, build whatever you want, all right, I would get three wildly different things. All right. I tried to do this a couple times this week. I have no pictures. I have no data. They always just fought. It didn't work out. But trust me, here's what would happen. One of them would build this big wide thing with a bunch of rooms, and they put their toys in the rooms, and it would be like a plane experience. The other would build high. They would go high, tower-like, open the doors, and be like an apartment thing for their toys. And then one of my kids would just build a bunch of little pyramids, like 50 pyramids, and that's all they would build. All right. And I'm sure if you're a psychologist, here, you're like, oh, I know what's going on with each of your kids now. I know exactly what kind of person each one of them is. I have no idea what any of that means, but it probably shows something, right? It shows something about them and how they think and how they're what they're valuing maybe in some ways. What we build, I mean, think about you. If you had the opportunity to design your dream house, all right, it'd be super interesting. We wouldn't design the same house. Some of you have the giant living space. Some of you don't care about the living space. You're not looking to throw parties. You want the giant bedroom with the view. I mean, it would just show kind of what you value and what's important to you. God is building this community, Israel, and it's going to show us a ton about who he is, about what he values, about what is important to him. That's what we're going to see in these three chapters here in Joshua, all right? So we're going to pray. We're going to look at a lot today. So let's pray and let's get into it and see who our God is. And so God, we pray that you would show us more about who you are, what kind of God you are, by the way you set up your people in this land. Show us more of your love for us, your care for us, and your desire to be near us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look at chapter 20 of Joshua, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, Tell the Israelites, select your cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses, so that a person who kills someone unintentionally or accidentally may flee there. These will be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So several years before this, God told Moses, the leader of this people, his people, to set up these cities of refuge, these cities of safety, so that if someone were working in a field, cutting down a tree, and the tree fell down and they didn't plan it right and it fell down and killed someone, and it was an accident, the person who was responsible could flee, could run. Hopefully they were faster than anyone else, and they could get to this city of refuge. And if they got there, it was a place where they would be safe. All right. If one of the family members of the one who died wanted to come after them and get revenge, avenge their family member, if that person was in the city of refuge, they couldn't touch them. They were safe. All right. And so in verses 7 and 8, you see how these specific cities were these cities of refuge. And then in verse 9, it says it wasn't just for Israel, not just safe for a certain ethnicity, but for all people, Israelites and non-Israelites living in the land. And so here's what we learn about God. Our God is creating a community of refuge, a community of safety, because that's who our God is. Our God is the provider of safety, the provider of refuge. And God does that in two ways, right? I mean, first, if you're in this city of mercy or city of refuge, you're experiencing, you're receiving mercy. What you deserve is being withheld, all right? And so there's mercy. Our God is all about showing mercy, but our God is also about justice. Because if you were in the city of refuge, you were awaiting a trial. And so in that trial, if it were found out that actually you were negligent, or maybe you actually did mean to kill someone, there would be justice. Justice would have to happen for the continued safety of the community. Our God cares about mercy and justice in the community that he's building. And so, guys, we believe that God has called Harbor West to be a community of refuge, a safe place where people can come and experience God's mercy, a place where people can come and find safety and love, even if their life has gone off the rails and they've made terrible life decisions, a place where people can experience true forgiveness and acceptance, but also a community of justice, where we pray for our island and seek to help those who have experienced injustice, a place where we can be a voice for the abused, the neglected, and those who need care. We believe that God has called us, just like Israel, to be a community of refuge because that's who our God is. And we would absolutely love for you to help us build that kind of community. We would love for you to be a part of helping us build that. There are a few ways that you could get involved in that. The first is being a part of our foster care ministry. You've heard a lot about that this month. We have a ministry, a focus in our church of caring for children who are in the foster care system. We want to be a church that's all about caring for people who are most in need in our community, fighting for justice for them. And children who've had to be removed from their homes are at the top of that list. You can be part of building our foster care ministry so that children and hurting families find safety here at our church, or through partnership with the Akili'i Foundation. You've heard a little bit about that this month because the Akili'i Foundation is putting on the Easter egg hunt that's happening on Saturday here in our building. The Akili'i Foundation, their founder and the lady who runs it, Auntie Noni, she attends here at our church, and that institute, that foundation, seeks to care for children with autism and other special needs and their families. Children and families who are often overlooked in our community and passed by and neglected in some ways. And the Akili'i Foundation is doing a fantastic job of fighting for justice for those kids and their families while caring for them well. You can be a part of supporting that and providing a safe refuge for those families to know that we are a church where they can come and have safety. Some of those families have been told in the past by other churches, like, man, we're going to have to ask you to stop coming because your family's too much of a disturbance here. Not here, guys. Not here. We want to be a place where everyone is welcome to come and be a part of what God is doing and creating. And you can help create that kind of atmosphere. One way you can do that is just to come on Saturday to the Easter egg hunt, to come and get to know some of those families, to come and say, like, hey, you can come on Sunday. We'd love to have you. And just to get to know them and love them and pour out some love on their kids. Auntie Noni still needs some volunteers. You can sign up through our app to volunteer at the Akili'i Easter Egg Hunt, or you could just come and be a part of it. Or our we're starting a relationship with the nursing home right across the road from us right here. One of our community groups, the Evidentiary Group, saw this nursing home and saw another group of people in our community that's often overlooked and neglected. And they said, oh man, we'd love to just come and sing some Christmas carols. So they did that. And they said, we'd love to come back and do a bingo night. And there was some miscommunication. Our group showed up to do bingo and there was a bunch of the seniors there with their Bibles ready for a church service. And we were like, the Eva group was like, no, we only have bingo. And one guy was just like, bingo. And he like wheeled away. He's like, I'm out of here. I don't want that. And so we found out they want a church service. All right, they can't come from there to here. So next month, we're going to bring here to there. And we're going to put on a church service for them. You can be a part of reaching an often neglected and overlooked group in our community, providing a safe place of refuge for everyone in our community. We want to build a place where sinners feel welcome, a place where anyone can walk through our doors and find the safety of a community who isn't going to pass out judgment and condemnation, but give out respect and love and care. Our God is a God of refuge, a God of safety. And we would absolutely love for you to be a part of building that kind of community here at Harbor West. There's more. Look at chapter 21, verse 1. The Levite family heads approached the priest Eleazar, Joshua son of Nun, and the family heads of the Israelite tribes. At Shiloh in the land of Canaan, they told them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to live in, with their pasture lands for our livestock." So the Israelites, by the Lord's command, gave the Levites these cities with their pasture lands from their inheritance. Okay, so there is this one tribe of the 12 called the Levites, right? And they didn't receive their own land. Instead, in all the other tribes' lands, God gave them little pockets, little cities, little places for them to spread out and live. The Levites were spread out throughout all the other tribes in strategic places where everybody else in those tribes had access to them and could easily get to them. Why? Well, God told Moses why in Deuteronomy 33. Just listen to what he said. He said, "The Levites will teach your ordinances to Israel and your instructions to Jacob. They will set incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar." In other words, guys, the Levites' job was to encourage the rest of Israel, God's people, in their relationship with God. The Levites were spread throughout the land, through each tribe, so that people could have quick and easy access to God. Quick and easy access to people who would remind them of God's promise to send a Savior to rescue the world. Quick and easy access to people who could stoke their faith in the coming Savior. The Levites being spread out all throughout Israel is kind of like today having a church in every neighborhood, having a church in every single neighborhood and community of this island so that every single corner and nook and cranny of this island has easy, quick access to hearing about who God is and how God loves them and cares for them. See, God isn't setting up a community of politics or wealth or expansion or war. God is setting up a community of redemption here. A community of redemption. A community where people know that God wants to be near them and he wants them to be near to him. And so the other tribes, man, they just gave up their land so that the Levites could live there with them. That was costly. This land was long awaited and much loved, but each tribe was willing to sacrifice and give of their land so that they could have a church in their neighborhood, so that they could have people in their community that they knew they could go to and be reminded of the coming Savior and God's plan to rescue the world. We believe that God has called Harbor West to be a community of redemption, a place where you can come and hear about God's Savior, his plan to rescue the world, Jesus. A place where people in our community can easily access and hear about how God loves them and wants the best for them. And people can interact with followers of Jesus to show them and remind them that God works powerfully and is with us. And so, man, we would absolutely love for you to help us build that kind of community because that's who our God is. Our God is a God of redemption. And so there are several ways you can contribute to building a community of redemption here at Harbor West. And the first is this. You can belong to this church. You can belong to this church. See, the Levites, they had to move into these new tribes and they had to belong to that tribe, right? The Levites didn't come and move into the tribe of Dan or the tribe of Judah or other tribes and say, yeah, we're living here, but we wish we were back home. We're living here, but we kind of wish we were with our people we grew up with. No, they came in and said, we're living here, and this is our home now. We belong to these people, and they belong to us. And so one way you could help build a community of redemption here at Harbor West is to belong here, to make this the place where you say, these are my people, I belong to them, and these people, they belong to me. The way that we most powerfully express that here at our church is through membership. We have membership here at our church. We call it covenant membership because that's the biblical language for it. And so when you become a member of our church, what you're saying to God, to yourself, and to other people in our church is, this is the place where I voluntarily say, I'm going to belong to you. I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to belong here. And I'm going to say that you belong to me. These are my people. It's kind of like a marriage, right? It's saying, I'm not going to leave you when something else better comes along. I'm not going to leave you when things get too tough. I belong to you. And so, man, if that's something God's calling you to pursue or to do, the first step in that is to go to our Next Steps meetup. We have a Next Steps every 2 months where we just kind of gather up for anybody looking to learn more about our church or pursue membership here at our church. Our next one is on April 21st from 1:30 to 4. You can sign up for that. You can come. It'll be in here after third service. And you can just learn more about what membership is at our church and what God is uniquely doing at our church and how you can belong here. Maybe some of you have come to Next Steps, but you've been dragging your feet on actually becoming a member, and God's nudging you today to take that step and see this place as the place where he wants you to belong. Because when you belong to a people and those people belong to you, then you start to create a community of redemption. The second way you can get involved in this here at our church is to invest your time. To invest your time, specifically to invest your time in our community groups. We have 7 community groups here at our church, and they're just pockets of 5-6 families that meet throughout the week, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, and they meet up at someone's house to pray for each other. They eat a meal together. They pray for each other. They study God's word together. And it's through those community groups that we see deep relationships formed, where we see people getting to know each other in a way that's not just passing each other in our crazy crowded lobby, bumping into somebody and knocking all their food on the floor. So many coffee spills out there. There are no gospel conversations happening out there. It is survival, all right? Nobody's like coming to Jesus out here. Any Sunday morning, it's just dodging the kids and making it out in one piece without stuff all over you. You know where actual redemption happens, where gospel conversations and deep interaction happens in our church? It's never Sunday morning. It's at our community groups. And so if you're like, man, I need this. I need people to remind me about Jesus. And I think God's going to use me to remind some other people about Jesus. It's going to happen in our community groups. And so, man, invest time in those groups, in those meetups. It means you're going to have to protect your Tuesday and Wednesday evenings and say, man, I'm not going to let anything else interfere with this. I'm not going to be sucked into the tyranny of soccer practice and everything else that is taking my time and my energy. I'm going to say, no, I protect this because I need this. And I'm looking to build a community of redemption here in this place. Another way you can be a part of building a community of redemption in our church is to invest money. To invest money, to give sacrificially here to our church. The other tribes in Israel, they had to invest their money. They had to invest their money in being a community of redemption. Because they were given this land. They were given an inheritance by God. And land was everything, right? Land and cattle back then. Land and cattle were everything. And so for the Israelites to come in and say, hey, we're here to be, or for the Levites to come in and say, hey, we're here to be the church among you. If they were like, yeah, no, we want to keep our cities and keep our pasture lands. No, we're not going to invest any of our money. The Levites wouldn't have had any place to be. The church wouldn't exist. But instead, each tribe willingly, sacrificially, joyfully said, yes, come, we'll give what's needed. We'll give what's needed for this church to exist. And so one way that you can invest, one way that you can be a part of building a community of redemption is to give so that this church can continue to exist. We exist upon the giving of mostly our covenant members. Our members have covenanted and said we will be a part of keeping this church alive, but others are a part of making sure that this church exists. But not just our existence, but our expansion. All of our 5 harbor churches on island are church plants. We are a church planting church. We want to see more churches planted and established in every nook and cranny and corner of this island and our islands. All right? And so currently six of our Harbor Church pastors are investing our time by meeting every single Thursday night to train the next wave of church planters to see more churches planted. All right. There are eight guys meeting every Thursday night to be trained up to be church planters and part of church planting teams. Two of them here from Harbor West who believe that God has maybe called them to plant a church. And we're training them and we're praying for them and we're empowering them. And we want to send them out so that in 5 years, there's not just five Harbor churches, there's eight Harbor churches, and new neighborhoods on our islands have easy, quick access to hear about Jesus. But that takes money. Every church plant takes a lot of money. It takes bringing on new staff. It takes empowering and enabling a team to be sent out. It takes a building fund. It takes all these different things. And so one way that you can be a part of building a community of redemption, not just here in Kapolei, but around this island, is to invest your finances. God is a God of redemption. He wants his people to have quick and easy access to him. And so we would love for you to be part of building that kind of community here at Harbor West. But when you're a community of refuge and you're a community of redemption, something else is going to happen. And we see it in chapter 22. In chapter 22, we read about how there's 8.5 tribes who were given land on the west side of the Jordan River and 2.5 tribes on the east side. So of all Israel, of all the tribes that were given land, there was this river, the Jordan River, that cut them in, not in half, but put 8.5 on the west side, 2.5 on the east side. All right? And when the Eastsiders moved to the other side of the river and took their land, they built this impressive altar. And so Westsiders, like we do, were ready to scrap about it. All right? Look at verse 11. Then the Israelites heard it and said, "Look, the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Cana at the region of Jordan on the Israelite side." And when the Israelites heard this, the entire Israelite community assembled at Shiloh to go to war against them. Like they are not in the land for any time at all, and they are ready to kill each other because they think that this 2.5 tribes on the other side of the river have rejected God. But look at how they respond, those 2.5 tribes in verse 24. They say, "Well, we actually did this from a specific concern that in the future, your descendants might say to our descendants, 'What relationship do you have with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us and you, descendants of Reuben and Gad. You have no share in the Lord. So your descendants may cause our descendants to stop fearing the Lord.' Therefore, we said, 'Let's take action and build an altar for ourselves, but not for burnt offering or sacrifice. Instead, it's to be a witness between us and you and between the generations after us so that we may carry out the worship of the Lord in his presence with our burnt offering, sacrifices, and fellowship offerings. Then in the future, your descendants will not be able to say to our descendants, 'You have no share in the Lord.'" You tracking there? Like the 2.5 on the east side, they said, hey, "We did this actually to stay connected to you. We did this so that we don't forget and that you can always look and say, hey, they haven't gone off the rails. They haven't rejected God. Look, their altar is still there." They thought they were doing this good thing, but it got totally misinterpreted and it almost started a war just over this misunderstanding. So look at verse 30. "When the priest Phinehas and the community leaders, the heads of Israel clans, the Eastsiders, when they heard what the descendants of the Westsiders had to say, they were pleased." And then down in verse 33, "So the Eastsiders were pleased with the report and they blessed God. They spoke no more about going to war with them and to ravage the land where the Reubenites and Gadites live. So the Reubenites and Gadites named the altar, 'It is a witness between us that the Lord is God.'" So this is a disaster averted, but this isn't just a disaster averted. At the end of the day, all these tribes walk away encouraged and ready to follow God more. It says here the Eastsiders are blessing God, and the Westsiders name their altar in a way that blesses God. They all walk away emboldened, empowered even, about who their God is. And that shows us what kind of community God is building. It shows us what kind of community God is building because we see it always when conflict comes out. You see who everybody is, truly is, when conflict comes up, right? And here's what we see about this community. God is building a community of resurgence. God is building a community of resurgence. What do I mean by that? This is a community of people who don't just get together and talk about God and let everybody else go their separate way and do their thing. This is a community of people who are actively involved in each other's lives and are calling each other out on sin and pushing each other toward God and saying, no, we're in this together and we're in this for each other's good. God is building communities of people who don't just get together and talk about Jesus, but who inspire and empower each other to live for God even more. Communities where the longer you're around them, the more on fire you are for Jesus. The more you end up blessing God, even through conflict. And so guys, we believe that God has called us to be a community of resurgence. A community where we point each other back to Jesus when we've gotten off track. A community where we challenge each other to godly living. A community where we love each other and work well through our issues together. A community where we are sent out on fire for Jesus. And man, we would absolutely love for you to help us build that kind of community here. One of the ways that you could do that, one of the ways that we just see people living out their fire and passion for Jesus is through serving here at our church. Not just coming and kind of just passively receiving, but through living out your gifting and your passion and your talents by serving here. Each one of our Sunday morning gatherings every week, it takes 65 people serving in order to pull it off. From our welcoming team to our hospitality team, our clean team, our worship team, our security team, our tech team, everything that happens here, both the Keiki squads, the youth ministry happening right now, about 65 people. And so for everyone not to serve, all those 65 people to not serve every single Sunday, but to only serve once or twice a month, it takes 135 people serving here at our church. We need 135 people to say, man, yes, I'm on fire for Jesus, and I'm going to live that out by giving my energy, my talents, my gifts for the life of this church. Another way is through being a part of our men's and women's groups. Our men's and women's groups get together, and man, the thing we always hear about those gatherings is that people just walk away on fire. Whether it's our men's retreat or our women's retreat that happens once a year, or just like yesterday, our men got together for a breakfast. They met in here, they ate together, they prayed together, and then they just heard the story of what God is doing in one guy's life in our church. And I heard from two guys yesterday, like, man, I walked away from that on fire. I walked away from that just stoked about who God is and what he does and ready to go. I hear that with our ladies when they get done with their 3-week Bible studies that they do. The last one is tonight, last of 3 Sundays. Just inspired to more godly living and more trust in God. There's this resurgence that comes out of those ministries that's really awesome. And so, man, we would love for you to be part of building that kind of community here at Harbor West so that we're not just existing together and kind of maintaining a kind of peace. When we get together, as Mike prayed this morning, let this not be a meeting this morning. But let this be a place where we meet Jesus and we leave empowered and inspired and on fire to live for him. We would love for you to be part of building that kind of community here at Harbor West. Because we believe that God has placed this church here in Kapolei to be a place of refuge, redemption, and resurgence. But why? Why? Like really, at the end, what's the goal of why we exist? What was the end goal of why God brought Israel into the land? Why did Israel exist? Why did he want them to be a nation of refuge and redemption and resurgence? As Joshua was dying, he was reflecting a bit on what's most important. After a full life of leadership, all these military battles, victories, and look at what old dying Joshua says in chapter 23, verse 6. 23, verse 6, he's speaking to the whole nation, and he says this, "Be very strong and continue obeying all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you don't turn from it to the right or the left, and don't associate with these nations remaining among you. Don't call on the names of their gods or make an oath to them. Do not serve them or bow in worship to them. Instead, be loyal to the Lord your God." Be loyal to God. Don't serve any false gods. Don't become infatuated with idols. Don't be a land that all of a sudden becomes all about politics or gaining power in this world or military advancement or prosperity or comfort. Be a land, be a people who obey God, love God, and who are loyal to God. Because that was the point of Israel. God brought Israel into that specific land to be a nation, a community of people that all the other nations around them could come through trade routes and interact with Israel and say, man, these people are different. These people are weird. They believe in this one God, and their lives are different because of it, and they actually love each other and care about each other. These people are weird, and I kind of want that. That's what Israel was there for, to be so loyal to God and following God so well that all the other nations around them would come and see God. That's why we exist as a church. That's what this community is all about. It's what Israel is all about. We exist to be a community of God's renown, of God's renown. That's an R word we don't use a lot, but we needed a fourth R word. That word renown, it just means fame. We're a community of God's fame. We want God to be famous. The goal wasn't that the world would be impressed with Israel's borders or their military or their wealth or their politics, but that the world would be blown away by Israel's God. And our goal as a church isn't that you walk out of here impressed with our lights or our food or our coffee or how dope the pastor's shoes are. We don't want you talking about any of that. We want everybody walking out of here talking about how amazing God is. We want everybody walking out of here going, man, that's a group of people who love Jesus. And this Jesus guy has changed their lives. And that those people can also know that their lives can be changed by this Jesus guy also. We want all of Kapolei, all of West Oahu, all of our islands to be talking about and worshiping Jesus, because we exist to shine light on him. We exist for his renown, his fame. Because at the end of the day, try as hard as we might to be a place of refuge, redemption, and resurgence, if we do it apart from Jesus, this will all fall apart. It'll all fall apart. Because community is still messy. Like, look in verse 6 here. Joshua says, he tells them, continue obeying. But then he goes on, and he makes it clear that they haven't obeyed. They were supposed to drive all the other people, the nations, out of their land who didn't believe in God, so that there wasn't any confusion. When people came, you know, to see who God was, they wouldn't see some people in this land worshiping God and others worshiping Baal or other idols. They said, no, drive the people out of the land, but Israel didn't do it. And Joshua here, he kind of compromises. He tells them, yeah, you didn't do it, but he doesn't make them do it like he should have. And so even in Israel, this nation where God was building a place of refuge and redemption and resurgence, there was still sin. Even though they have their land, even though they're God's people, still sin still exists among them. And where sin exists, community will always be messy and tough. It's the reason why so many people church shop and church hop and never fully belong to a church, because they have this expectation that they'll finally find a church that it's just fine. There's peace. There's no conflict. It's a lot of people are looking for a church with no sin. But the problem is, you and I bring our sin into the community. We bring our ongoing sin battle and sin struggle and failures into community with each other. And sin can spoil the community that God is creating. Israel would eventually experience it. We talked about the tribe of Dan last week, how they were setting up idols. But in Israel's future, there's going to be lots more idol worship because they didn't drive out those nations in the first place. Lots more infighting. Eventually, there's going to be a total split of the nation. And then really, eventually, the Assyrians and the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy the nation of Israel. How'd it happen? If God was building this community of refuge, redemption, resurgence, how'd they get so off track? It happened because of sin. We bring our sin into community with us, which means that we are community destroyers by nature. And I don't know if that's hard to hear for you. I know it's hard for me to think about that I am actively a community destroyer. But that's what sin does. It destroys community. God is building what's beautiful, this beautiful community of refuge, redemption, resurgence. I, by my sin nature, what am I going to bring into it? I'm going to bring the potential to destroy it because I'm a sinner. We all bring that into every community because of sin. Drama, backbiting, suspicion, distrust, grudges, slander. Why'd she look at me that way? Oh, that guy's really going to use the last of the water in the Keurig and not refill it. Sin. We bring it all in with us. Each of us has the potential to be community destroyers, probably not all at once, but potentially slowly over time. But we also have the opportunity to be community builders, because Jesus came to destroy the effects and power of sin in our lives and in our communities. Because of Jesus, we can come into community differently, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the gospel, to be a people who belong to and strengthen and build the community that God is creating. Because of Jesus, we no longer have to be community destroyers. We can actively be community builders by how we invest in this community being a place of refuge, redemption, and resurgence for God's renown. And so what's God want for you today? What's God prompting you to do today? Maybe for some of us, he's prompting us to repent of being community destroyers. Maybe we've been holding ourselves back, neglecting, or maybe we've been actively sowing some seeds of destruction. Maybe God's calling us to wake up and see that he is building something, that he said that he is building his church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it, that God is building little pockets, little communities of Jesus followers to turn this world upside down, and that God has called you to be a part of it. Not just come and passively kind of partake in it, but to be an active builder in it. And God is saying, wake up, you're a part of this, get to work. And so maybe number three, he's calling you to charge forward in community building and to take some active steps that you've never taken before. What is God prompting you to do today? He's building it. He's doing it. Let's be a part of it. Let's pray together.